Good morning. I was thinking this morning that this is the first time since we moved in here, since I was blessed to be assisting minister. And so, in all honesty, this is the first time that I've looked this way, because I always look this way, and it's just as beautiful looking that way. I had everything all organized this morning, and somehow I lost my packet. Well, no, it's my. So anyway, I'm going to do the best I can. This is, anyway, so here we go. We are the blessed ones. Who are the blessed ones of God our Father? For the prophet Micah, in today's first lesson, they are the ones who do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with the Lord God. For St. Paul, in today's second lesson, they are the ones who find wisdom in the power of Jesus' cross and empty tomb. For Jesus, in today's gospel, they are the poor, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those who mourn, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, in holy baptism, into the body of Christ, we find our blessed identity and calling in Jesus and his countercultural way of living and serving.
Together as beloved children of the Holy Trinity and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we reject the evil one of this world and strive only for the holy light that is granted to us in the faithfulness and salvation of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Live in the promise of holy baptism. We are children of the Holy Trinity. Our sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. Rejoice and be glad, for ours is the reign of heaven. Amen. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Holy God our Father, you confound your world's earthly wisdom by giving your kingdom to your lowly and pure in heart. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to grant us such a hunger, thirst, and perseverance for Jesus' freedom, justice, and peace, that in our actions, words, and deeds, your world sees in us the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. As we pray the prayers for the world together, let us keep in our prayers all the victims of the virus that is in China, not only those who are sick, but those who have died, all our medical caregivers there that the Lord is inspiring to find ways of comfort and potentially, eventually, a cure, as well as the places it has spread outside of the country of China. Let us pray for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and bless you, and all displaced peoples, all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters, all victims of war, warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife, in Africa, Asia, and the Middle East, including in Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties, recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit, so that your will is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I didn't realize it was your turn in the barrel today. With the mountains and the foundations of the earth as the jury, the Lord God brings a lawsuit against both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The Lord God has wearied Israel and Judah with a long history of saving acts. The Lord God does not want or expect lavish sacrifices to attempt to earn divine favor. Rather, the Lord God empowers the people to do justice, to love loyalty to the Lord God, and to walk shrewdly in the Lord God's service. The first lesson is from Micah chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Rise. Plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? And what have I wearied you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
According to some of the world's standards of wisdom and power, the message of Jesus' cross and empty tomb seem foolish and even offensive. Yet St. Paul teaches the paradoxical way God our Father has chosen to work his Son Jesus' power and salvation through weakness, rejection, and suffering. Hence, the message of Jesus' cross and empty tomb is God our Father's true wisdom and power for believers. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus opens his Sermon on the Mount by naming those who are blessed in the reign of God his Father. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after Jesus sat down, his disciples came to Jesus. Then Jesus began to speak and teach and preach his disciples and all of the crowds, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who came before you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this holy ground time with Christians around your Son's Jesus Holy Catholic Church who worship Saturdays, Sundays, Wednesdays, and other days of the week. We are grateful for these moments. It was holy ground at Florida National Cemetery this past Friday when we laid to rest our beloved brother, Pastor Emeritus Nels Carlson's remains to be reunited with his beloved wife's Natalie's remains. But this too, on the Sabbath of this holy ground time, Pastor Bill Korkish and Pastor Emeritus Nels Carlson led flocks for years and years and years to honor the Sabbath. We're grateful to be here to do so, to bow our knee as the Magi did thousands of years ago to the Bethlehem child, the Messiah, Jesus, to God our Father and the Holy Spirit. And then, through the Holy Spirit's fire, you send us out to serve Jesus in his missions and ministries as we go out into the world. Worship and service are intertwined. This is holy ground moment, and we get to go out in our action, words, and deeds. Bring others to the Sabbath and bring others into the kingdom of heaven. The harvest is great. The laborers are few, but you equip us through the wonderful power of the Holy Spirit and what great gifts you give us. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Great to be with you this morning. And yes, you are the only service that gets to have chocolate cake or vanilla cake. Because I learned something about the bliss of marriage back there. Jim likes chocolate and Karen likes vanilla. But Jim's cake was reserved for this service so that it wasn't gone. So if you're a chocolate fan, this is your day. Aren't you glad you came at 11 o'clock?
Yeah.
I like that. Amen. You're my friend. You and Joey, I like that. By the way, did you see me get shocked? I wasn't looking over there, and all of a sudden I heard Barb chanting in a very deep voice. I had to change. Okay, so you're a very good chanter, Ray. We'll make an assisting minister out of you yet. Okay, don't get carried away. But thank you. Today, we're very blessed to begin Jesus' teaching of his Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, as we are told by St. Matthew, our glorious gospel writer, in honoring his Lord and Savior Jesus, starts with, when Jesus saw the crowds gathering. This is incredible good news. And in St. Matthew's Gospel, this is the first time that the crowds are gathering to come and see the one they've heard about, Jesus Christ. We are blessed to know this, and so were they. I wonder if people honor the Sabbath around the world the same day with a great joy, with a great intrigue. The crowds are inquisitive. The crowds are seeking. But the crowds are happy, as Coral told us. They've put things aside to go find this Jesus. Now, why are they doing this, you should ask yourself, for the first time in this gospel writer's account? It's because of what they've heard. That's the idea of witness. We, too, get to proclaim these things. At the beginning of chapter 4's gospel, in this particular account, we heard. Last Sunday, I preached about it. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, tempted beyond our wildest imaginations by the evil one, Satan himself. And the crowds have heard about that because the Messiah has power over the evil one. And they're excited. Hey, that's that one, Jesus. I heard he went into the wilderness. No one could survive in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan tempted him. The same Satan that tempts us. And Jesus conquered Satan. He came out of the wilderness. Did you hear about that? They would be telling the story. Let's go see him. He's over there on the mountain. Some of them came because they heard who was following him. Hey, I heard about this guy named Simon. Simon, he's been renamed by Jesus. Peter the Rock. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Peter the Rock. He's a fisherman. Simple guy. And his brother Andrew, Jesus called them to come see, and they went to fish for people. Well, somebody else would have said, I know Zebedee. His two sons were in the boat with him. They were honoring him by fishing. They left and they followed this Jesus. These are average people just like us. Wow. Let's go find out why they would follow him. And let's go see him on the mountain. You don't seem very excited about this. This is incredible good news and excitement, and a buzz is in the air. And then someone would have said, yes, but I heard. I was at the River Jordan when St. John the Baptist, our prophet, said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I am not worthy to untie the thong on his sandals. He is the one that is greater than I because he was before me and he's coming after me. And there he is, the Messiah. The prophet told us that. You think this crowd's pretty excited? And someone would have said, this Messiah comes with promises. John told us that he only baptized with water. But this one, Jesus, God saves, baptizes us with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let's get up and go and be excited. And you're only thinking about cake. And the incredible good news, you might expect something different than what we get today. The disciples and the crowds are clamoring and they have come to Jesus. He could have answered them directly. John said that I am the one and I am. I did defeat Satan face to face, toe to toe. I am the one that calls people and cures your sick and raises the dead. But what does Jesus do instead? He gives his world the greatest sermon that has ever, ever been preached. It's duplicated in a little different way in the Sermon on the Plain, it is called in St. Luke's Gospel. But this is the account that most people know. He's answering who he is by preaching. And the crowd would have been astonished. This sermon is known around the world. It is known most often of Christians and non-Christians alike as the Beatitudes. And what does that mean? Supreme blessedness. Even non-believers have heard of this sermon, the greatest one of all time. And that's how he began his ministry and his missions after defeating the devil and calling the first four disciples. And we're supposed to be excited about it. But I believe the crowds were clamoring to him, expecting something different. Yes, the new King David is here. He has come to vanquish Rome and get rid of their tyranny and the butchery of their crucifixions and the hard labor of their taxation. Let's go find when Jesus is going to do this. He's also come, I'm sure, I believe, theologically they were saying, to get rid of the oppression of the religious authorities who are keeping us from the kingdom of heaven. Yes. Let's go see the one who is going to wreak vengeance on our behalf. And then you get the greatest sermon from the most radical divine human being of all time. This sermon is radical. He knows what they're thinking. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the hungry and the thirsty, for they will be filled. And then he says this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will get their fill. He does not preach. Blessed are those who seek vengeance. Embedded in his sermon is he's saying, vengeance is God my Father's, as he told you. You pursue righteousness and the kingdom of heaven. And this is exciting stuff. It's broken into three Sundays. This sermon is so important, you're going to hear more of it next Sunday and the following Sunday. That should tell us something pretty important is going on, shouldn't it?
Yes.
Don't sound so excited for part two and part three. And Jesus, embedded in this sermon, is saying, now you go be the sermon. You go be a blessing. I blessed you. This is an incredible calling, and it's an incredible gift, and it's an incredible thing that I love to embrace. It is never about anything that I preach or teach. You want to hear the best sermon? Go home and read this gospel and pray it and say, Lord, speak to me. It was your sermon thousands of years ago that the whole world knows about, whether they believe it or not. There's a story about preachers that I picked up on a while ago, and I don't know if it's true, but I believe it is. If not directly, the person who said it knows what they're doing. It's not important about what I preach about. It's important what Jesus says and teaches. That's the gospel. In the incredible good news of this, there was a believer who honored the Sabbath and happened to be a man, and he went every Sunday. And he encountered a non-believer who apparently knew him very well. And the non-believer, scoffing, said, "So what did you hear in those sermons over the past course of time?" And the Christian answered, "I don't remember anything." And then the unbeliever thought he had him. "See, you're wasting your time." And this man, filled with the Holy Spirit and fire, said this to the unbeliever: "I don't know what I had for breakfast, lunch, or dinner the last 7 days, but I know I was nourished. And I know the Lord God nourishes me on Sunday mornings." Oh, I'd love to meet that guy. Amen and hallelujah. He's living this gospel. It's about Jesus. It's never about preachers and teachers. It's about Jesus. Go home and study it. But know this, I live this the best as I can because I believe in the Holy Spirit and fire. And you know I get fired up about that kind of stuff. And the way I do things is a couple of statements that I lead by. And you've heard me preaching before. And our church is built on this. And I believe their foundation is in this sermon. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. The kingdom of heaven and the Holy Spirit and fire is happening with or without us. And Jesus is saying, lead, follow, or get out of my way because I'm breaking in my Father's kingdom and I invite you to be part of it. And I love that. I embrace that. As you notice that. The part of the Holy Spirit and fire and the Beatitudes is also something. And I preached about it at our dedication, which had many visitors twice that Saturday morning to dedicate this Lord's house of worship and service. I said this, if you recall. Too many people of faith are taking up too much space. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and fire, stand on the edge. Because Jesus is going to do one of two things. He's going to ask you to step forward for sure. And He's going to say, "Step forward, my child. I fill you with the Holy Spirit and fire and the gifts. I'm either going to give you a bridge to walk on or wings to fly. But step forward, lead, follow, or get out of the way." And that gets me in trouble with you sometimes. But until the day I die, I'm going to do and believe and follow this gospel, the greatest sermon of all time, as long as I can. And that oftentimes gets you volunteered for things. With the Holy Spirit and fire. And that happened this week.
What's next?
The Holy Spirit and fire. A woman named Mary came in through the doors this week, and she asked if she could speak with me. She happened to be greeted by our president, Bill Daimler, and he said, "Oh, yeah, the pastor's here." And I was walking out, and he introduced me to Mary. She said, "I'd really like to meet with you about some things." I said, "Okay, but I can't do that today. I have too many things I have to do this morning and for several mornings this week." I said, "But let me look at my calendar." "This is where you get in trouble with me." I said, "How about Thursday? 10 o'clock. "Oh, I'd love to come meet with you Thursday, 10 o'clock. Thursday at 10 o'clock rolled around this week. And, excuse me. Then two people showed up. Mary came with Tammy. Michelle had to scurry in here and get a chair and brought it into my office. And the two of them sat down and Mary introduced Tammy. And I joked and I said, "Oh, Mary, I thought you were coming by yourself." She said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I should have told you I was bringing someone else." And I said, "No, that's great. Who's Tammy? What's she do?" She works for the Marion County Health Department. And I knew what was coming. The Holy Spirit and fire. Wait till you hear.
We volunteered.
Yes, I did. Supreme blessing. I said, "How can we help you?" Did you notice that? How can we help you? And they were sort of taken aback. And they said, "Well, we know there's a lot of need in South Marion County here in Summerfield." I said, "Yes, we've been engaged in that for a long time. We're wondering if you'd help us." "Absolutely. What do you have in mind for us?" And then I think they almost fell out of the chairs. We don't have the AED yet, so I told them, "I'm just kidding." And they said, "Well, there's a lot of need around here. One is transportation for people getting to medical doctors." I said, "I know, and we don't cross county lines." And I said, but you know about the Marion Transit and the Lake and Sumter? And they said, yes. I said, well, you know, there's brochures. We don't have those out. I had them out at St. John. We're getting there. They didn't have them. So I went and got them for them. And I said, here, if you have people in need, this is your discounted transportation. So you're off the hook there.
Yay.
And they said, well, we have other needs in the community. I said, I know. We push everything that comes in the door through St. Vincent de Paul Society. Oh, where are they at? Oh, they're right down the street at St. Mark's Roman Catholic Church. I said, you ought to go tour that facility and see the amazing things they do there for people in need, from electric bills and rent and gas and food. And they direct people to St. Teresa's Roman Catholic Church. I said, there is a lot of things happening, but we can do it better. And then they said this. We need a food pantry. And I said, you know, we used to run one. It was called the House of Esther, and it got closed when we left St. John Lutheran Church. And I said, but our theology of running a food pantry is not just to have something with open doors. It is to be cleared through St. Vincent de Paul Society, which knows how to do that in Love, Inc. And I said, but then when people came, they had a shopping time, and we actually had a store. And they were dumbfounded. And I said, yeah, you came in, and you actually got the need-based things you did based on your family size. And you actually had some screening where people went to find out why you needed food and why you had five kids with you. Oh, we've got to take in all our cousins, and as things happen. And it was wonderful conversation. And then I said this. I said, how about if we open one for you? And then they really almost fell off their chairs. I said, we know how to do it. We've done it before. And I said, you saw those two sheds out there? And yes, we did. I said, one of them has medical equipment in it. What if we put the House of Esther right next to it so that those who came and needed medical equipment could also be right there for food? Wow. And then they said this. Can we hold meetings here? Oh, yes. Because we want to draw in the support. I said, you will get it from Trinity Lutheran Church. You will get it from First Baptist Church. You will get it from St. Vincent de Paul Society in St. Mark's. You will get it from St. Teresa's. You will get it from Hope Lutheran Church. I said, we would be glad to be the conduit for all of that to support any future food pantry. And then Tammy handed me this. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. She's the one that represents the Marion County Board of Health. They did a survey in South Summerfield. 274 people turned it in, and it was completed on November 30th of last year. This is the paragraph that speaks to the Beatitudes. Through community meetings and the survey, it became evident that many residents were having trouble meeting their basic needs. Per the survey, not Pastor Dave making something up, residents three highest in order, basic needs not being met, were doctor visits, food, and medications, which also means walkers and canes. And we have the opportunity to stand on the edge and say, Lord, if you want us to do it, tell us how and send us the resources. As long as I'm your pastor, this is just as important as building that sanctuary. Because if we are going to be the Beatitudes, then we need to be a blessing to others. And Jesus is challenging us. One person who visits with us left at the middle service and said, I'll give you a check for $500 right now. I know that won't get it done, but I said, oh yeah, but that gets us started. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. If the Lord wants it, let's just get it done. And I hope you're excited about it. Too many are sitting there like this going, oh, what's he doing again? I'm standing here in faith telling you that it can be done if it is the Lord's will, and He will provide. Because that's the Holy Spirit and fire, and this community needs to know this place is that. And what a wonderful place it will be, where prayers are given, just like it was. And that's exciting to serve the community.
Yes, sir.
And I'm only going to share this with you because I wanted Louise to hear it. I said to them, I said, well, we can help other places. And they were like, well, that's a lot already. I said, we'll get there. I said, do me a favor. Go to Harborview Elementary School. And you tell them if they want to open a rock that we'll do it. because we know how. Louise faithfully serves at Lake Weir Middle School. Those kids right up the street are 80% or below the poverty line. If they want a place for food, for hygiene items, for sneakers, blankets, and coats, I flat out said, we'll do it because we know how. Mm-hmm. You probably wish I didn't schedule meetings. There's a reason why this sermon is known. It's because it's the truth. And Jesus is looking at us saying, I've already blessed you with my crucifixion and my resurrection. Now you go with the Holy Spirit and fire. Be a blessing to others. And man, you know that gets me fired up. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. God, our Father of wonder, you formed us in our mother's womb, and from your mother, earth, you bring forth your Son, Jesus' bread of life and wine of salvation. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we place them on Jesus' holy communion banquet table, together with our lives, all that you have made and all that you have continued to make. Open your heavens to us and pour out the Holy Spirit. We receive Jesus' mercy in his precious body and blood. We live lives centered in Jesus' freedom, justice, and peace. We hunger and thirst only for those, for Jesus, our banquet of eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Faithful God, our Father, you keep your covenant promise of salvation to us in your Son, Jesus' holy communion banquet meal, nourishing us with the eternal gift of Jesus' salvation. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to send us forth as Jesus' servants of his freedom, justice, and peace, that through his ministries and missions, we always testify to your eternal goodness and hope that is ours in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Praise God, our Father, whose mercy in his Son, Jesus, endures from generation to generation. As St. Mary, before she gave birth to her Son, Jesus, set out to visit Elizabeth before she gave birth to her son, St. John the Baptist, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless those who continue to go forth to share Jesus' holy gospel good news and Holy Communion sacrament with our sisters and brothers who are sick, homebound, in skilled care, assisted living hospice and hospitals. In Jesus' love and care, nourish and strengthen those to whom we bring Jesus' holy gospel good news and Holy Communion sacrament, that through his precious body and blood, we all know his salvation and the hope of his promised return. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, may our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God our Father, and the source of our life together, keep us united in mind and purpose as we serve Jesus and his ministries and missions. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, remain with us now and always. Amen.
Peace. Let Jesus' holy light shine in, with, and through us. Continue to bring Christ to all people today and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.